Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Hello and welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg. I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould. Unfortunately, Fran Ginsberg can't make it with us tonight. We hope we get her back soon. Tonight's topic is a survey question, so we're going to rely on the answers that you have given us, or if you'd like to call in live, you're certainly welcome to do that. The question that we're going to be discussing is, what do you suppose is the purpose of the physical realm? And I mean, we've touched on similar things before, but there were a lot of really interesting, cogent answers that you sent in. So, you know, in this show, we learn as much from you as you learn for us. I mean, maybe we learn more from you. But so we're going to go through that. Before we get started, I just wanted to mention you can check the website for our December event. And by the way, as with most businesses and not-for-profits, we haven't been holding physical events for obvious reasons, but you can support the work by entering into a raffle to win one of five medium readings with a certified medium of Forever Family Foundation. So that's the holidays past raffle, and you can go on the website and purchase an entry for $5. So let's dive right into the topic of what is the purpose of the physical realm? Real easy question, don't you think, Tom? I mean,
that's like asking the meaning of life,
you know. But you know, some of the answers were pretty interesting. Let's start with one. This person writes, "To grow differently and at a different speed, we learn some hard lessons on Earth. Perhaps it would take longer to learn those hard lessons in the afterlife." So that's an interesting concept. It's acknowledging that we still do learn lessons, you know, in the afterlife, which I guess raises another question. You know, if the afterlife is blissful, you know, how does one grow? I mean, you ever give any thought to that? I mean, if there aren't any real obstacles, how do you attain growth in the afterlife realm? What do you think?
Well, that's an interesting question. From what I have seen and heard, I believe that there are different levels in the afterlife. And so your growth is not necessarily obstacle driven, but just how you can handle the energy, because we find that some spirit takes a while for them to be able to learn how to communicate back here, or which is in essence lowering their vibrations so that they can communicate on our level with mediums and that sort of thing. So that's a learning process. I guess the obstacle is not being able to do that. But my dad came through in a reading and talked about appealing to a higher level for an issue that we were having. And it seems that there are different levels and ways that you have to learn how to acclimate and be assimilate to those levels.
I kind of feel like you don't fight it the way we might hear. Give it a task, you're like, I don't want to do that. I think we our spirit would be more accepting, understanding that there's a purpose to everything. I think the I don't want to do that is more of a human reaction, and that spirit would just be more open, understanding it's for the greater good of all.
I mean, getting back to what Tom said, I mean, maybe there's different levels and different spheres. That was one comment that we got here. You know, the purpose here was the beginning of the learning process and placement in different spheres in the spiritual realm. So assuming that there are these different levels of spheres, then that is one of the reasons for the physical realm, because based upon what we learn or how we live our lives here may kind of determine our starting point, you know, where we're going, you know. So that's kind of logical. One person writes, I guess maybe to put our current growth to this point to the test and also grow while we're here from concrete everyday experiences and interactions with other people and challenging life situations. So I believe we are here for growth as well, but that continued growth happens in the afterlife, but with the benefit of being able to look back and reflect in hindsight, and maybe with seeing the broader picture and the fact that we're better able to put it all together and say, oh yeah, now I see, you know, what and why and so forth. Whereas while we're here working through it all somewhat blindly, and although while learning, it's only a small piece of a small piece, whereas the whole picture later on we can learn on a lot larger, more broad scale. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, reading through these comments, a lot of them were made mention, which I tend to agree with, that the physical realm will offer you, as we were talking before, the obstacles, the you know, hate and pain and suffering that we find here on the physical level makes learning, as some people also pointed out, faster. And whereas you go on the other side and it's no pain and it's peace and it's joy and that sort of thing, you're not as motivated to learn. Whereas the trials and tribulations that we experience here in the physical world motivate us to try to find a growth in our spirit, to be able to rely on our spirit, rely on the love that's within us to get us through.
Yeah, I agree. But if that motivation is elusive to a lot of people, you know, so somebody going through you know, life's tragedies, you know, may seem these obstacles as insurmountable. And then just, you know, all they see is the injustice of it all, and they give up, you know. Yeah. So, and some people do, as you suggested, you know, see it as a trigger to explore their spiritual side, you know, and they actually can grow from it. So it's all, it comes down to your thoughts and frame of mind, you know, how you're going to handle a situation, you know. I mean, what advice, you know, if you came across a friend who pretty much gave up because of life's obstacles and tragedies, you know, what advice would you offer to them? I mean, assuming that you would offer advice, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you ever think about that? I'm sure you've come across friends that are in that situation, you know. And if you're going to counsel them as a friend, what do you say?
I know it's a tough one, Bob, because often knowing what we know or what we think we know, it seems like things might be better on the other side, and this is all just too much. But we'd have to find the way to point out the joys of this human existence and what you might not have, certainly because we don't really know what's on the other side. We can only speculate. And so what we have here in this world, it would take a skilled person or a friend who knows a lot about the friend they're counseling to remind them of what they have here and how much we would miss that person. And the stuff we've said that often to those who attend our grief retreats, the way we feel, the way we're suffering without our loved one being here, would we ever choose to put someone else in that position by grieving for us if we weren't here? And it said a lot to parents because, you know, you would not want to put anyone in your family through this horrible thing that you've gone through. And I don't know if, you know, that would be enough. I would hope it would be enough that you have, you know, you reach out to their compassion for those in their lives.
Yeah. Sometimes we always talk about, you know, what's the purpose and meaning of the physical realm. And maybe it's just that the purpose and meaning is to recognize the purpose and meaning. Yes. So it's as simple as that. Another comment, regardless of the opportunities in the afterlife realm, I believe the purpose of the physical realm is to live the kindest and most compassionate and loving life you can. You know, that's well put. To learn how to love, forgive, and be grateful, especially when it's the hardest. The physical realm, to borrow a term from baseball, is the show. It is what we prepare for on the other side to so deepen our ties of love, not the Hallmark romantic triacle, but the nuclear power, the imploding star stuff, the infinitely creative stuff, that we can sustain our connection to it, even here, if this plane that feels so far from God or love, source, whatever term you want to call it. So it's along the same theme, you know, that a lot of these things are coming about. I found one interesting here that said, I truly believe that we all have had multiple lives in the past. Each life represents a new level to a higher self. However, each level is not the same level of education. One life may have more traumatic events, thus earning a higher level of education at death. Another life may be less dramatic, but still learn to better oneself and just learn a little. The rest of it I couldn't read. But what about, do you think that we, if you believe in multiple lives or, you know, reincarnation, you think it's a balancing situation? Like we have one life that's with a lot of obstacles and tragedy and another one not so much? I mean, is there a karmic balancing that you think that goes on?
Well, I do believe in karmic balancing, period, and whatever happens. But so, you would hope that if you are living a particularly torturous life, that there is a blissful life somewhere else that you are living. As we have talked about in the past, we aren't just one place at one time. We can be, our soul can be sent out in tentacles and living existences in different places. It's obviously, well, not obviously, but there is growth that we are always going through. We're always in motion, and learning is certainly something that should be done on all levels at all times. But there was one comment that stuck with me, because I've mentioned this in the past, that there is the school of thought that I've put out there that life is life is a carnival. It's an amusement park ride with its ups and its downs and its the fear that you have going down a roller coaster, or the exhilarating thrill that you get from the speed and that sort of thing. And that when you get off of it at the other end, you have a sense of accomplishment and just gratitude that you survived it. And that, you know, somebody mentioned that life is it's a carnival ride.
You know, you're making me think of the zip line we hung in the backyard for the grandkids. And I went on it a few times, and I start off on a real high, and you get to the end, and it's like, I just want this to keep going. And and the end, because the zip line isn't that long, is kind of jarring. So I can relate to your carnival aspect, that I just want to keep on going.
Yeah. There's another comment somebody wrote. As I move through my day, I realize how much of life is centered around keeping our physical bodies going. And there are a lot of decisions that go along with that reality that affect our soul growth. We don't have to worry about food or clothing or shelter in the afterlife. That's a big deal. We can focus on other things, but we move more slowly or differently. So, you know, it goes back to our best guess is that you're an entity, a pure thought and energy in the afterlife. So you don't have, just think about that. How many decisions you do make during the day that are centered around your physical being, you know, half of what you do, you know, eating or feeding.
You mean, Bob, I don't have to wash any more dishes in the afterlife?
Well, it depends. You may have some karmic balancing to do. You may have to wash a few dishes. I don't know. Another comment. Unfortunately, humans live their life with the saying, you only live once. But we've been lying to ourselves. We live every day and die only once.
Yeah, I like that one. I highlighted that one. That's a good line.
Yeah. The physical realm, in my understanding, is a tougher regimen. You can stroll or you can run hard, for example. The running taxes your body and you develop stamina that you wouldn't achieve by taking a stroll. As I understand the afterlife, if we think of something, we can get it. The physical classroom is a lot harder. You know, I'm sure you noticed as you read through these comments that there are a lot of analogies to the classroom, you know,
yes.
you know, and lessons and I think that's, I don't know whether that's from people reading a lot about the spiritual realm or from, you know, some inner knowing, but in any event, it's a common theme. Let's see, we experience emotions and the human experience to grow our souls at a faster pace. The lessons in the physical realm cannot be learned in the afterlife. And that's the other theme is that, you know, we touched on before, certainly this other realm is totally different from the physical realm. So maybe this is the only place where you can have these tremendous obstacles, you know, which in turn, promote the growth. Maybe, you know, it's to a much lesser extent in these other spheres. But it does make sense, you know, just getting back to that theory of having multiple levels in the afterlife that there still are obstacles, maybe not obstacles to overcome, but we're only privy to a certain amount of understanding and enlightenment, so to speak, you know, as we progress from one level to the next. There has to be more to offer, you know, if you're going by the theory of levels, otherwise, why would there be? You know, just the very notion of going to the next level means a rebirth into something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there was a good thing you put in that, and then somebody even mentioned that about the part of the learning is because the physical body has such limitations that, you know, we always talk about looking at the big picture, and then when we get on the other side, it's a really big picture. Maybe what we're here to learn is not to look at the big picture, but look, be aware of the small picture. Our limited physical bodies, there's only so much that we can physically do. And yet within that physical limitation, we can expand our soul and we can tap into the energy source of the universe that will be prevalent when we cross to the other side as our energy goes up. So learning how to appreciate and I guess be grateful for the energy that we have now will put us in better stead when we go across and find that there's a kind of a limitless energy and how in our position in it, that perhaps that's a thought.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at a comment now, which is very good. The afterlife, whether it involves a continuation of this particular self or the reincarnation of multiple selves, is made much richer by the experiences of this life. Ideas existing in a non-physical dimension are expressed more fully in dimensions that allow physical characteristics. That's put in a better way than I was trying to explain before, but I like that thought. Let's see, another one on that same theme to getting us ready for the afterlife realm. The more work we get done in this realm, the less we have to do in the afterlife, and the more we can enjoy the bliss and superpowers available there. So it's, you know, people use the trite saying of paying your dues, but in a sense, we're all paying our dues here for something that's going to be better in a realm to come. Let's see. Again, along the same theme, I also believe that we have more opportunity for growth here than in the afterlife. You learn more from hard times, sadness and pain, than you do in the afterlife where everything is peaceful. Let's see. There must be a purpose to we exist. I don't think we will know for certain until we die. They say the physical realm is where we come to learn and experience things. I imagine we can do in the afterlife, whenever and whatever we wish to call it. I think different belief systems have different names to describe the same things. So I think, you know, we're pretty consistent. Yes, I believe to continue to evolve in the afterlife, the purpose on earth is to find, learn, and connect to your soul and true self, to awaken to the power of love, the universe. It is a school to learn and understand how to navigate all the feelings this world includes. I think in the end, it's about surrendering to something bigger, bigger than us, and allowing it to flow through you. So that, you know, that's we've read that, and I'm sure you have, in a lot of things that surrender is a big spiritual thought. That, you know, sometimes you just have to stop fighting or rebelling or trying to control things and just listen to a higher voice, you know? So I kind of agree with that concept. Sometimes you just got to, you know, kick back and let the universe play the way it's going to play.
Yeah. Go with the flow.
The surrender part, was it the car accident with Sam Kinison, where the people around him, you know, he it was a tragic accident. He wasn't going to make it. And he's, you know, moaning in pain. And then suddenly he goes, I see. And it's like, then he can relax. It's I probably got that all wrong the way I described it. But it was like an understanding that I can now surrender to where I'm going next. And accept it. I think it's surrender and acceptance are key. You know, just letting go of all this kind of control that I think that's a big one in the physical world. You know, trying to control situations all the time is a big one, and also exhausting.
Yeah. This person writes, I believe that they are somewhat interconnected, and we just need to learn to hone in and understand the energies. Here we are mortals that have physical bodies, and we're restricted in many ways. How we learn to restructure our way of being, our ability to feel and use the qualities, benefits, and challenges we face to strengthen our consciousness and that of the collective. The afterlife and physical realms are different universities, and sometimes we must switch back and forth if we miss the materials to support our journey. So when he says we must switch back and forth, you think he's talking about, you know, on a consciousness level or on a reincarnation level?
Yeah, you know? I remember reading that and felt that, yeah, switch back and forth is that you're here on the physical, you pass over to the afterlife, and then you switch back again because you didn't get it. Interestingly enough, for all that we've read, for all the psychics and mediums that we have known who have had communications and some sort of insight, the near-death experiences, all of these people and all the books they've written, and yet we are sitting here tonight still trying to answer that question. What is our purpose here? And and of course, with all the people saying, well, it's school, it's school, it's school, and that this is a test, it makes me realize or think that, and that one comment that says, I guess we won't know until we actually cross over, which is exactly it. You never know the answers when you're taking a test. They don't give you the answers, and you don't know the answers until you get the test back and see how you did on it. And I think that that's, maybe we're not supposed to know why we're here on the world, but we can assume that, yes, we are being tested, and we just try to, as one person said, live a compassionate, loving life as best we can. And I guess the other thing that you learn is you learn the power of faith, that when you do, as Melissa said, when you do surrender, when you do let go of control and go with the flow, that's when you have learned your lesson. That's when you understand that you are not in control, but you are part of the whole energy. And as we have definitely been told and seen on many, many times, the evidence is pretty strong that, yes, when you cross over, you are greeted with a joy and a love and a beauty unlike anything you've experienced here. And that, you know, to fully embrace that and become part one with it is the real answer to the test that you've given.
All right. Well, I'm not going to try to follow that. So we're going to go to a break. So we're going to go to a short break. We'll be back to discuss more of your answers. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Ryan Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Let's read some. I don't know if you guys have any favorites from the comments that you look through, but let's see. I know there was one that discussed, you know, frequency that I thought. Yeah, I mean, there's a good question that I've also asked my son in spirit. The thoughts that I am getting is that creation is never sitting stagnant and everything is constantly growing and expanding. From our perspective, we are seeing creation in a frequency that only shows the lower vibration of life. This is a mission or just another journey in this infinite wheel of life that is constantly turning. We signed up for this to expand our souls and feed this tree of life with more knowledge. My son is no longer in this frequency and has transcended back to the frequency that he came from. I feel our actions will determine the frequency that we live in. We can easily see this in this physical or lower vibration of life. People are all on different frequencies. Ultimately, all people come to this earth with the seed of love. However, as we take this journey, there are many ways we can feed this seed. Our experience is determined by the ingredients that we embrace as nourishment for this seed. So, you know, what about the notion that we all operate on different frequencies? And that you could say both here and in the non-physical realm.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot, we think of that in terms of the afterlife realm, but aren't we all operating on our own channels here, so to speak?
I think that's an interesting question. I think we are. I go back to this a lot when you have a certain rapport with someone. Often I noticed when you very first meet someone, the conversation just flows smoothly. You might or might not have a lot of synchronicities just in general, things more physical interests. But there's just some sort of connectedness. And now I've lost track of what the question was. I'm going along.
Vibrating at different levels.
Oh, yeah. So you think that you're vibrating maybe on the same level. I know a lot of people like, what's the term? Your soul part. Soulmate, right. I've kind of gotten away from the thought of there being one soulmate. I feel like I've often thought this with when we're with Bob and Fran, that, you know, we're all going to be together. We're going to find each other again on the other side because we've had this rapport right from the start. And with other people, not so much. And yeah. It may surprise me when I get on, you know, when I've transitioned to the other side to see who I actually hang out with, because that's how I'm viewing it with my human emotions.
Well, I agree with you on the soul mate. We have read, I think it was Testimony of Light, which we refer to a lot. I think it was in that book that they talked about soul groups.
Yeah.
That when you get to the other side, you'll notice that the spirits of doctors are hanging out with other spirits of doctors. The musicians hang out with musicians, and you're in a soul group. And so when you on this planet are looking for a soul mate, as Melissa pointed out, it's not just one person, but it's somebody from your soul group that you find here on this plane, and it feels like home. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with that. And definitely the levels of vibrations. I'm reading a book now by a medium who talks about how he has to raise his vibrations, so and the discarnate who's trying to communicate has to lower their vibrations so that they can get into a realm where they can communicate with one another, and of course the medium is able to do that, whereas the general public for the most part is not functioning at that rate of vibrations. And in science and physics, you'll know that the table or the chair you're sitting on or the table you're at is vibrating also, and it's just at a very much slower vibration. The rocks and the trees are all vibrating, but it's so slow that they're not actually moving, but they are vibrating. They're made up of molecules and atoms that are constantly spinning and vibrating. So we as humans in the physical body, yes, we're vibrating as well. And when we cross over and shed the mortal coil, as Shakespeare would have it, we're nothing but energy, and our vibration level gets really high. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, there are even higher levels of vibration when you get on the other side. You're not, you know, there's a long way to go before you're at the highest level of vibration. So yes, we're all at different frequencies at any one time. And yes, even here on the physical realm, if you think about a radio receiver, some of us are down at the bottom of the dial and some of us are way up at the top of the dial. Yeah, and many in between.
Do you think, hearing you say that, Tom, that, you know, we often talk about, I know I talk about it a lot, the life review that you face where there's no judgment other than your own viewing the choices you made throughout your life and how you treated others. And I'll go further to say that it's speculated that I'll use the word the wrongs you've done or the injustices or the unkindness that you may have done unto others that you feel it back on yourself tenfold, a hundredfold, and that's your own personal hell because it's so uncomfortable, yet it's your own judgment. So do you think because you have this life review and you see how you lived your life, that that's where the levels become involved? Because just because you've seen this life review and yes, you have now felt what you did to others, it doesn't just end in that moment. Now you must kind of retrace your path. I don't think it can be possibly a physical experience, but something. I know, again, in that book we mentioned, Testimony of Light, there are kind of jobs. I mean, you're in a role that you must play to help others. So it might be that on the other side, after you've had this life review, after you've seen, now some people, their life review might be super gentle on them because perhaps this is not their first incarnation. They've had many. They've evolved in the physical world. They're kind and good to all at all times. And they might take the fast track up to a higher level. But typically, because we are human, we have to go through those levels gradually, but not the fast track.
Yeah, I know we've mentioned it in the past, but a great movie about this very thing is the Albert Brooks film with Meryl Streep, and they both find themselves on the other side, and she goes in for her life review, and she's lived an exemplary life, and all the spirits are clapping for her at the end. And then, of course, Albert Brooks goes in and is trying to hide his face for his life review.
Was it defending your life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I agree that we all are vibrating. That's really string theory, you know, that we're all on different – the world is just a never-ending vibrating string, so to speak, you know, or multiple vibrational levels and frequencies. And when you look what remains hidden to us in the physical world, we're not talking about the afterlife, but, you know, we can only see a small sliver of the spectrum of light, you know. We can only hear a little bit of the full range of sound. I mean, look at a dog whistle. You know, it doesn't mean the whistle's obviously the dog is hearing it, so it still exists. But if we would swear that there was nothing going on, that you didn't make any sound. So, you know, that can be equated to the afterlife realm. Just because they're vibrating at a level that we can't comprehend or most of us can't see, we can't dismiss as not existing. You know, so. The theory of frequency and vibration, you know, holds true in every aspect of our lives. You know, going back to some of the comments here, in my humble opinion, the learning and growth that may take place in the physical world are very different from the learning and growth that takes place in the spiritual realm. The physical is a more difficult school because the knowledge of where we came from and will return to, and the knowledge we have there in general, are mostly hidden from us. Therefore, it is a different kind of learning that does not take place in the spiritual world where the obstacles of pride, race, social status, education level, economic differences, and religious background do not exist. At least we hope they don't exist, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to, the, you know, it sounds like a trite spiritual saying that, you know, when somebody passes, well, now they're free, you know, they're free of the physical body. They could do whatever they want. But it may not be just a pleasant thought. You know, that very well may be the way it is. I mean, we're shackled and tethered to this dense physical realm by this body that's weighing us down. And when that disappears or we're released from it, our true self can now roam untethered where it seeks to go. It's a beautiful thought, and it's borne out by a lot of people that have had near-death experiences and, you know, all the channeled literature. So we can only hope that all these things are true.
I definitely believe that's true.
Yeah, and as you say, we've heard these in many different mediums, through mediums and through books and that sort of thing, that this is the way. I've yet to read anything. I mean, I read a book, I finish a book, I pick up another one. You know, for the most part, they're spiritually oriented. I will deviate into biographies and that sort of thing. But yeah, there's a consistency to that story. I have never once actually heard of somebody getting a message from the other side of, oh, God, it's horrible here. Get me out of here.
You know? And they also don't, I hate to say it, but I recall at one group reading, no, they don't miss us, because to them, they're around us all the time. You know, I doesn't he miss me? Well, I'm sorry, he's not saying he misses you, because he is with you all the time. And it's not that physical, that human physical emotion when you're in spirit.
And again, the time frame is so much different. Yeah. You're living eternal energy, and you're only living but a speck of that on this physical plane. It's like saying, you're hanging out together and somebody says, well, I got to go to the bathroom. And then they go to the bathroom and you say, well, don't you think they miss us while they're in the bathroom? No, they know they're going to see you in another 30 seconds as soon as they come out. And it's right, that way for spirit on the other side, that, you know, we're all going to be on the other side before we know it, in a blink of an eye. When you think in terms of eternity, another 30, 40, 50 years is a blink in the eye. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And then you just made me think, because I know Fran does miss me sometimes when I go to the bathroom, because I bring a book in there. You know, I'm gone for an extended period of time. But that's not where you were going, I don't think.
Well, it's always the person left behind. That you're not in there with your book going, boy, I'm missing. You're perfectly happy with the book and a good seat. Come on.
Usually. One person writes that, when talking about the reason for the physical realm, to appreciate the concepts of good and evil. That's interesting. So certainly while we're in the physical realm, we contemplate good versus evil all the time. I mean, we're surrounded by both. Yeah. And then the other question comes in. So where we're going after this physical realm, is there, do we again get to experience good and evil, or is it all good, or are there realms where a lot of people think there's realms, especially people that are religious, and certain religions believe that there's a place where it's pure evil. I mean, I think we tend to think of as Melissa mentioned before, self-judgment. So if you're in a place that you would think is uncomfortable or evil, it's really your own thoughts, judging what you've done in the physical realm. But I get the sense that we don't have the same good and evil challenges in the realm to come. You agree? Or
I totally agree. I think that the flow of the universe is love and compassion and joy. And I don't think evil is a major player on that level. I think evil, as you say, is one of the obstacles of the physical plane that we is here for our learning experience. And if we delve into the evil, where Melissa says in your life review, it's your own judgment. Nobody else is judging you. You're the one who's saying, oh, because you feel it. As she said, you feel the wrongs that you've done to other people and that you've done in this physical plane. And what you referred to earlier, that's the karmic balance.
Yeah.
That all this, the bad that you have done here on Earth, when you get across the way, you're going to feel that. And that's the karmic balance coming back to you. And by accepting it and understanding it for what it is, and then surrendering and letting go, and then moving on to the flow of the universe, is how you work through that. But no, I don't think that there's a guy with horns and pitchforks on the other side going to be poking you half of all the time.
Yeah. I don't think so. His one simple comment about the purpose: to practice what we learned. So,
I like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, I mean, when I'm thinking about that, I mean, you could look at that two ways. You don't want to be practicing some of the stuff you learned, here.
Obviously, but they have good things.
Well, then what you were supposed to learn.
Yeah.
That you get back to the other side and say, well, you know, you were supposed to learn to be more compassionate. You were supposed to learn to love, and you know, love thy neighbor and all that. And you were supposed to do that. And you go, oh yeah, I guess I was. So let me go back and see, you know, take the test again and see if I can be more of that kind of person. And then you go back and you spend another 100 years or 50 years or how many ever you get. And then you go back to the other side and say, well, how'd I do this time? Well, yeah, you passed, but you squeaked by. And, oh, I got to go back again. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or like, when you forget something, what did I come into this room for? What was it I was supposed to learn?
Yeah. Sometimes I think, you know how we always talk about those on the other side taking an interest and helping us in the physical. I wonder if it works the other way too, that our actions here in the physical can help those who have crossed over to the other side.
I always think that, I don't mean to jump in, but I just wanted to, before I forget it, that I think that's why I feel looking for signs from our loved ones is so important, because whenever you, whether it's a sign or it isn't a sign, if it causes you to pause and think about your loved one, and you're thinking about your loved one because that's what they are, your loved one, and you loved them, and the fact that they were loved on the other side helps them to evolve. If you weren't a good person, you wouldn't have been loved. But if you're loved, the love others are still feeling, which is grief because they loved you, it helps them to evolve. So I think it's always important to take note and think about them.
And another thing that I thought about in the physical realm, that we are in a sense miners, that this is a love mine down here, and that the more love we create, that the whole universe feeds off of that love. And we have the ability to create love. And one of the comments says, you know, our purpose is to live, laugh, and love. I mean, those are the three things that if we live fullest and love every day and laugh heartily, that is feeding the whole universe energy. And that's a purpose that we're here for, to create love.
And as you hinted, love transcends all dimensions. So
yes.
we can't, it's not just delegated to the physical realm or the afterlife realm, it's just what permeates the universe. And I think that brings us to the end of tonight's discussion.
I just want to throw in one more, because the one comment that I read that was brief, it was just simply said, create, create, create. I believe in that one.
We'll leave it at that, because we can talk an hour about that. So thank you tonight, and why don't you close our show by saying,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
It sure is.
Thank you, everyone, and good night.
Good night.